listening to Making Good. I'm Renee Blanchard, founder and operator of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery, located here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Church Alley is a people-first, mission-driven small business that I opened in 2013. And the best part about owning a cafe is the people. So in this podcast, I interview the makers, the farmers, and the many interesting people I've met through the shops, the folks doing the good work here in Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast. Let's get started.
Well, I'm Bernie January. I'm one of the co-founders and creative director at Heartsleeve.
And I'm Natasha Nordhoff. I am the screen printer and help Bernie with some other things, some other creative pieces, but the screen printer and in charge of retail. So I partner with the Good Shop to make sure our goods are showcased and finding wholesalers and pretty much any of the back-end stuff, accounting and finances. But for Heartsleeve, I'm the main screen printer.
Cool. And what exactly is Heartsleeve?
So Heartsleeve is a design and screen printing studio that we founded here in New Orleans. Bernie and I have known each other for almost 10 years, and Heartsleeve was born out of our relationship, actually, about 6 years ago, as a way for both of us to start expressing creativity and our own creative desires that we kind of set aside for a long time. Both of us had grown up with art in our lives and had kind of left that behind for a minute, and we wanted to re-engage with that, and Heartsleeve was one way that we figured we could do that. By using our creativity to raise awareness and raise money for local organizations doing really cool work that we were excited about, and then to let our freedom kind of flow out of that. And so it's grown and shifted a lot over the last 6 years, but that's where Heartsleeve started, and that's the nexus, I think, of where all that came from. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty good. I think part of it, yeah, I think we've grown now. Part of it was the retail, sort of our products that give back to local causes. And now I think since that's happened, there have been a lot of like really cool organizations and people who are like, oh, you guys are making really cool designs and products over here. Maybe can you do that for us? And so that sort of grew into like, now we like support, you know, different brands and businesses and nonprofits who are like doing good work, who want to make a community impact. And they see that, you know, oh, you guys are already doing that. Can you just do that for us? And so we've been, you know, screen printing and creating designs and websites and all sorts of things for some really cool folks who are doing good work.
Cool. And y'all are getting married.
At some point.
Okay. A very long engagement.
We're not just co-directors of this company. Y'all are also partners in all of the ways.
That's right. Partners in life, partners in business.
So I met you, Natasha, in 2010 during the BP oil disaster. I had come back to Louisiana to volunteer for Gulf Restoration Network, which is where you were working. I was working at Greenpeace in Amsterdam, but I wanted to, when the whole oil disaster happened, I kind of wanted to come back to Louisiana and volunteer. And a mutual friend, or a friend of one of the executives at GRN, introduced me to y'all. And so that's how I came back. And I think you're like the first person I met coming back.
Really?
Louisiana, yeah. You were like literally at the front door of GRN. That was my introduction of coming home.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And Bernie, I think I met you at an event during the oil as the disaster was unfolding. There were so many community events, and yes. I think you were there as well.
Definitely happened.
Natasha, can you talk to me a little bit about your work, about Gulf Restoration Network and like your work? Because y'all started Heartsleeve while you were still working there, right? You were doing kind of two roles there.
Yes. So I, after graduating from Tulane, I started at Gulf Restoration Network as a canvasser during the summer after graduating. So going door to door fundraising for, at the time it was a campaign about reducing the use of cypress mulch in garden beds, because Big Ag was clear cutting old growth cypress forests in order to mulch them for garden mulch.
Or something like that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of an atrocious way to use really, really beautiful old growth trees that are literally necessary to protect the Louisiana Gulf Coast from flooding and coastal erosion. So that's how I started fundraising with them. That turned into an internship. I eventually made my way up to the director of development. And so I was organizing all the fundraising efforts, major donor campaigns, the events, engaging volunteers at all of these events, often the person at the front door or tabling at an event, and being a face to the public to explain what our different campaigns were about and why it was important to support them. And so I was able to learn there. I learned so much about the history of Louisiana's environmental issues and the nation's issues at large, but it really turned me on to the very specific environmental crisis in Southeast Louisiana and our land loss, the role that oil and gas had in that, and how what we can do now to fight that and to slow it, hopefully stop it and reverse it so that we have a beautiful landscape and a place where people can live and grow old in the future.
Yeah, thanks. And Bernie, what were you doing when y'all started HeartSleeve or right before?
Okay. That was a good question.
It's long ago now.
Yes, that was a long time ago. I think I was, Greenlight?
Mm-hmm.
I was a Greenlight, yeah. And so I was the program manager for a nonprofit called Greenlight New Orleans. And we were trying to help folks essentially figure out how to like save money and help the environment, like in regards to the sort of like overall carbon footprint in New Orleans. And so a lot of people knew us for like changing like the incandescent light bulbs to fluorescent and LEDs.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, right now I feel like that's kind of like, oh, everybody does that. But at the time, that was pre the sort of like Obama sort of legislation to sort of shift that sort of wattage of your lighting. And then I think that was around the time that then we were shifting at the organization to sort of help people build vegetable gardens in their yards. Mm-hmm. So we were making, with some volunteers, hundreds of them. Like we visited like, I don't know, it was a crazy number of houses. Me personally visited probably hundreds of places, but like the organization, thousands. I've been to every part of New Orleans. It, not just like, just at, in the neighborhood. I mean, I've been in people's houses. I've seen like their like, you know, bathrooms in there.
Vegetable gardening.
Yes, in their closets and all sorts of stuff. And so, but it, you know, it was cool because it was the coolest part of that job was that you got to like talk to so many people. Like I really got to like, I know I lived there for a minute before Greenlight, but I really felt like I was like here for real, getting to talk to like, you know, you talk to dozens of people a day from different parts of the city and you just like hear about what people are going through. Cause I'm there for like 30 minutes to an hour at a time. It was really cool just to get to know and hear everybody's story.
Yeah. And you're from Lafayette, right? Your family?
I'm from Morgan City.
You're from Morgan City, that's right.
So, which is like between, it's probably like right in the middle of,
yeah,
between here and Lafayette.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I grew up, I was born there.
Cool. Natasha, when did you move to New Orleans?
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan and moved here to go to Tulane, and I arrived just 3 days before Katrina hit. So that was my freshman year of college, dropped all my stuff in the dorm, evacuated, lived with my dad in Dallas for a few months, and then came back in January of 06 to start when Tulane reopened. And I've been here ever since. Just kind of settled in and fell in love with the place, and then found Brady. So fell in love with Brady and kept me here.
And now you're stuck.
Now you cannot relate.
I was talking to someone, another business owner, the owner of Kin, and we were talking about flooding, obviously, because Kin floods a lot at every rainfall. And so this was just on DM, and we were talking. And I was like, I feel like my Louisiana ancestors are holding me hostage. And they're saying, ha ha, you can't escape either. It's like, we're just stuck here sometimes, and this is what we're going to make the best of it all.
Yeah.
It's a hard place. So y'all had started Heartseed already. Y'all had both like kind of dug in a little bit. And then I moved Church Alley like a building over from when Bernie was working at Youth Empowerment Project. So y'all are right there as well. And then Heartsleeve became part of this collaborative store called The Good Shop, which is still running and growing. And y'all opened in the mezzanine of Church Alley. So, and all of our businesses were in the front of this old movie theater called Zeitgeist. And so that's kind of how we all, I think, started working together in different capacities. And that was in 2015, I think, did y'all open that in 2015 or 2014?
I think it was the end of 2015. Mm-hmm. And Tippy, our mutual friend of Goods That Matter, I met her while at Gulf Restoration Network because she had approached that organization to fundraise for them and donate some of her proceeds from her bird soap back to our organization. And so I was having these long conversations with her as the development director, talking about how like what language we should use about this partnership and how we could promote it. And so that kind of stuck, that's how we first met. And that kind of gave me the idea that, oh, other people are doing, making goods that then promote and give back things that they believe in. And so when Tippy found out that we had started our own creative endeavor, Heartsleeve, she reached out to us and asked if we wanted to join this idea of hers, which was a collaborative shop space that we could share all the rent and the labor and sell our goods. And that was, I think it was the end of 2015.
Yeah, I'm not good with dates.
I think Tippy had her studio up there along with Justin Shields,
who done
a lot of illustration as well for us. So they were working up there, and then they just, I think, was like, oh, let's use the rest of this space at the little shop.
Yes, Justin was still there when we moved in. Mm-hmm. And who else? You started working there, Bernie.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I was still working full time. Bernie, you have more flexibility. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, because I was there every Friday, I think. That was like my shop day. And it was cool because it made it, because it was right down the street from our youth studio at the Youth Empowerment Project. And so there was like, because so then it made it so like some people that I knew from that, over they would, you know, who I was working with at the Youth Empowerment Project would come to the shop to get to your coffee.
Yeah.
And then they would go upstairs and like, oh, you're here again?
Yeah. So like,
I'm everywhere.
We talk about, yeah, because Youth Empowerment Project has a bunch, and then the kids from, there was also a high school next to us.
Yeah.
So in between Church Alley and the Good Shop, there was a high school and then the Youth Empowerment Project, and all of these kids were always coming. So it was, I felt like as difficult as it was in those first few years for all of our businesses, it also was like this huge collaborative space and energy that was just kind of all this stuff permeated, and everyone is still in business and like still doing a lot of stuff.
It was really exciting.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago, at least 6 years ago. And then Bernie, so you're creating our new website right now, which isn't quite public yet. We're still making that work, but it should be public very soon. By the time this episode comes out, it'll all be up there. We're just finishing up. And I really love the new design. It's really cool. And I've really enjoyed our process too. Just like how we meet every 2 weeks and we like talk through all these and you have tons of ideas and we just kind of narrow everything down. Can you tell me a little bit about how you work with clients to create new products? And like, what do you feel is your style as you're working to create products for other businesses outside of yours?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is in the very beginning is to really try and understand what do you really want to do, right? What is the point? What is the purpose of whatever you're trying to make? And I think once I sort of like am able to inhabit that, I try to sort of like bring myself as the, I try to like live as the consumer of that, whatever the person, the client who's coming to me to design something, I try to inhabit their customer. That's kind of like the framework I try to come from. And so then I sort of live in that moment for a little while in the beginning of like, okay, so if I'm their customer, what other stuff am I like, maybe it's buying, or what other websites am I looking at, or what other sort of brands do I like? And so then I like kind of go on this like hunt of like, I am the customer, I'm going to hunt it's inspiration to me as Bernie, but I'm like, I'm going to hunt the things that me as the customer would like, these are the things that I would do. These are the things that I would buy. And okay. And then at the same time, like, okay, so my client wants me to sort of make a new website, and having had all that research and like thinking through all that, me now as like Bernie, customer of client, can sort of present some ideas initially to try out and see like, okay, what do you think now that I've inhabited this customer client about what you knew? I think the first thing I sort of create for a client is like a mood board. So like, what is the like, so here are the other brands that I feel like relate to your brand. Here are some colors that I feel like kind of give the mood of the, of your brand. And we sort of talk through a lot of that. Like, I feel like you probably remember those discussions. And then I sort of like whittle down, like you said, with the client, like, yes, these things work. No, these things don't. And then I start creating drafts. And I think it's a really important thing to, you know, to sort of like take it from the standpoint of like, I know Bernie likes things, obviously, right? So there's like, so me as a designer, like, I like wild, crazy things, probably, that maybe other people, if you listen to comedians tell jokes to each other,
right?
Like, they tell jokes that are like completely not funny.
You would never say.
So they're not funny at all. So like, I think also designers do that too. Like, right. We like in our own minds and like when we're making stuff for each other, it's wild. Right, it's really wild, it's really out there, and I think like what I really love doing is like, yeah, I got all that sort of ability to create those sort of crazy wild things, but like to sort of like use my abilities to be able to sort of support somebody else's idea, I think it's really fun, right? It's like a really fun exercise, and it also sort of puts me in a place to sort of keep challenging myself and keep inhabiting, like, in the same way that I did at Greenlight. Like, I still like want to like, and some of it does require this of like talking to different people, like, and sort of thinking how does someone else experience something and not just like Bernie likes this. Yeah. And I think I always try to like come from it from as the designer to come from it from that standpoint. So that's kind of like the way I look at it. I was like, how can I be an outsider, even critiquing myself in the process? And then really get to the like, what, you know, the client wants things too, and I want things. And how do we focus on like, what does the customer of your brand actually want?
Yeah.
And just sort of like working together to get to that standpoint. So I think that's like, what I think I'm kind of good at, maybe. Really good at.
Well, I agree. I love the new website, but I like all the, you had worked on some menus for us before, right before the pandemic had started, and that kind of got a little halted there. We had to change up what we were doing. Yeah, I really liked, and like even today, we were talking earlier about the art for the podcast, and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to your podcast for these reasons. Here are all the other podcasts that are very similar that I listen to for those same reasons. And so here, like, let's look at what they're already doing. And is there a template that we like in that? So that is a cool approach.
Yeah. To know what exists already is also really important, because you like, no product gets put on a shelf by itself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's going to be there with other things. And I think to ignore those other things is kind of like missing some of the point.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially as like your products, well, the website is a little bit different, but your products are going to live in a store next to all these other products.
Exactly.
Like, it has to be together. And Natasha, how did you, so you do most of the printing projects and you work with the customer. So I order, y'all also did our t-shirts and our tote bag, which I'm very excited about coming up. And so I go to you for those those projects. And like, how did you start printing, and how did what is your process when you're working with customers to develop t-shirts and different things like that?
Mm-hmm. I started screen printing. I had never done it before 7 years ago. And my friend Pippin Frisbee Calder, who is an amazing artist, does mostly woodblock prints. She would have printing parties where she'd be trying to put out a large edition of work and would use friends to literally walk over the prints to print them, use our weight, our physical weight to make all these prints. Because she would make these huge, you know, 6 by 10 foot prints that were too large to go through a press. And so creating that friendship with her, she always needed an extra pair of hands, so I would start to tag along. So she taught me how to screen print, and that was, I really enjoyed it, and I got better and better at it. And then started focusing on, she does mostly paper, but I wanted to focus on fabric. So printing on shirts, printing on bandanas, took a long time to perfect, but then Bernie designed our initial t-shirts, and then I would print them all. So that's slowly grown. And now that I'm printing all of Heartseed's retail gear that we sell, I feel like I certainly have the talents and the expertise to help print other people's things, or also just advise people on how to go about printing something that they want to represent their business or their brand, or just like a family reunion, you know? And so kind of similar to Bernie's process, the first thing I want to know is, what do you plan to do with this once you have it? Is it being sold? Is it being given away? Is it to represent your company on a staff person? How is this going to be used, so that I can understand how best to design or highlight a logo versus maybe a tagline or a saying, or how maybe artistic you want it to be rather than literal, most people don't necessarily want to buy shirts with logos on them. They want to buy something that's beautiful, that they are going to be excited to wear. And so when I'm meeting with folks, I want to gather all of that. And I also like to give a wide array of different types of printables. So lots of people, more and more, have come to me looking for organic or grown in the US, or also like grown and sewn in the United States. And so as more folks have asked me for that, it's challenged me to go and find these different sourcers, these different wholesalers, and have been pleasantly surprised to find a lot of like Southern organic cotton farms who also partner with like Southern factories to weave, sew, create t-shirts. So that there are different levels of sustainability that people can tap into. You know, hopefully, ideally, I try to pitch those things towards folks. There's a price attached to that, but to have those options available so that people have a menu of things to choose from. And so then I love working with repeat customers like you, Renee, because I know your logo and I know your brand and I'm already a fan.
I definitely want to work with my customers, you know, like that is like our social media person is a longtime customer. And then I was like, would you want to do our social media too? And she's like, yes, that has always been. And that has helped the grocery section too, is that all these people are people I know who come into the shop, you know, and I know their businesses. And so it's an easy yes, you know, to work with y'all. And I love how like absolutely devoted to Louisiana your products are too. Like y'all are like I wear, yeah, you're wearing your Love Y'all shirt. Which
It wasn't on purpose. I just sort of put it on today.
Okay. A little advertising. I wore it to the gym this morning. So. And then you have your greeting cards, which we also sell in the shop. And you have your new one that has, you have your Love Y'all shirts. I mean, greeting cards. And then I Want to Be By You greeting card, which we sell as well. And y'all also make that into a onesie, which I've given to every single friend that has had a baby. because you have men's and women's t-shirts and the onesies, and I did a whole family pack as well.
Yes. I mean, the best part of that whole, like the probably one of the best things that's come from the I Want to Be By You sort of like design is that we get tons of baby photos. Like people, you know, it's so awesome. It's like, I never would have thought that would have happened. So, but like, we would just get like, sometimes like on Instagram or like,
you know, just a text from your old friend.
Somebody like I hadn't talked to since high school or something, but they like bought one for somebody. And then they like, I got to show you this. This is so adorable. And we get just like random baby photos that just show up sometimes.
Or full family photos. And they're all decked out in the,
yes. It's pretty awesome.
So good.
I've done that multiple times where I've bought like everyone the same shirt.
it is pretty awesome.
I love it.
It's pretty cute.
Like y'all are branded now.
Totally unexpected sort of like little bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. How people interact with the things that y'all are making. Mm-hmm. And then you have this new greeting card, the Tree's Knees, which is selling out at Church Alley for sure.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So how do y'all like, I know that all of your products are like very Louisiana based and devoted. And then y'all also you're in the Good Shop and you're helping run the Good Shop as well, which gives back. But can you talk a little bit about how you make your own products? Like how do y'all decide what greeting card y'all are gonna do, or how, you know, or the I Want to Be By You, which was like such a perfect t-shirt, you know?
I Want to Be By You, and some of these phrases, it's so funny that they just kind of come from conversations or, you know, out of relationships, but I Want to Be By You, I think was literally something that we said in the kitchen one night while making dinner. And it was some sort of like silly.
Well, I think we were like dancing or something.
We were dancing. Yeah. there was some sort of like, it was in the kitchen. We might've been dancing while making dinner. That would be epic.
Yeah.
And so then it was just like something that we said to one another kind of jokingly, and then as far as the design, how did the design come out of that?
I mean, I think it's interesting. Like all of them kind of worked like this in a way. Well, no, I think I Want to Be By You was a little different because that kind of that phrase kind of started the design process. Right. A lot of times the organization we donate a part of the proceeds to is like, okay, like, I think the Rooted shirt, I wanted to give back to the Green Light New Orleans and they were doing the vegetable gardens, right? And so I was like, how can we like make the message of their work and keep this, like, you know, because I want to make sure that folks, the reason why it's so, like, Louisiana based is because I want people to know that we're from, like, this is, like, we're making this here. This is, like, we're very proud of the fact that we are, like, you know, I'm born and raised in Louisiana, and we're, like, kind of, you know how we are.
It's special.
Like, you know, we talked about the floods and all that stuff, but it's just, like, at the same time, like, you know, we have our festivals and we have our food and we have our culture. We dance. We're not afraid to dance. We're not afraid to laugh. And so, like, you know, we're proud of all that stuff. And so I think the rooted one specifically was, like, okay, how do we, like, tell that mess story? And then at the same time, like, okay, the kind of having the literal roots, the Louisiana is, like, literally, it's kind of, like, both figuratively and, like, sort of, like, literally, like, almost, like, you know, we're building vegetable gardens, you know, right. And it's still, like, it's connected, but it's, you can sort of interpret it like you want too, like, you know, so it's, like, it could be, it's both, like, telling the story of the organization we donate to, but also it's like kind of whatever you put on it for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, the ideal. We can, like, find that, like, that design and that message where it sort of connects those two things together like that. That's, like, the best. But that just, like, sometimes it's like eureka. Like, the I want to be by you was kind of eureka, I think.
Yeah. And so it was You're the Tree's Knees.
You're the Tree's Knees. I was telling there earlier. It was, like, a friend of ours. Yeah.
We were out on a hike in Tickfaw State Park on the trail, which has this beautiful, like, swamp walk, and you're walking among all the cypress and all the knees are poking out. So you're watching where you step so you don't bite it on the trail. And she just said it. And it stuck. And so we thought that was maybe 2 years ago. It took us
a while to design something
to fit it. But we had tucked that one away, knowing that we wanted to elevate that because it just resonated, and we use it kind of half jokingly, but it's really sincere and lovely and expresses the importance of cypress trees and our interrelationships. And
yeah, so the greeting card is a cypress tree with knees, like all of the knees around it, and it just says tree. Is it say you are the tree's knees, or tree says you are the tree's knees?
Yeah, kind of like you are the bee's knees.
Yeah,
right.
Which, like, makes no sense, but
I had to look it up. I looked up, like, what does you are the bee's knees mean? Like, what does it come from? Which tree's knees kind of makes more sense.
It makes way more sense.
Bees don't have knees. I was like looking up. I was like, bees don't even have knees. What's going on? And so
it wasn't a southerner.
I know. It was hilarious. And so, like, I think the core of it is, like, it does come from our life. Like, it's, like, our experience, and, like, I think that's kind of a cool way to approach it. It's just, like, you know, it really comes for real. Like, we're experiencing these things, and we're like, okay, maybe someone else can, like, get some joy from that. So you know, it's pretty cool.
And I think we've made a pretty big effort to make sure that our designs are, like, sincere and full of love. And just sharing some, like, lightness with people. So trying to make sure that whatever we design is something, like, fun. Sometimes it's silly a little bit, like the puns, but it's sincere and it's earnest and it's, like, loving.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, like, the point of it.
Mm-hmm. What, and you just got into Whole Foods. So y'all are selling your t-shirts in Whole Foods. Yeah. In Louisiana.
Yep.
Just in Louisiana, in all of the stores in Louisiana.
It's
the Baton Rouge location, and then the Metairie location on Veterans, and then the Arabelle station. So three locations in Louisiana right now.
Yeah, and it's probably good to start with three.
it's a lot.
it's a lot. It's a good thing.
Big order.
Yeah, it's good. It's going good. It's just, like,
But that came to us before COVID, maybe a couple months before COVID, because somebody had visited New Orleans from Austin, bought a t-shirt at a festival, had worn it to work at the Whole Foods headquarters, and somebody saw it and liked it and Googled it and found us.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's just one of those small world, or like you plant a seed and it takes a while. And then we got an email and a call kind of out of the blue, which grew into this really exciting partnership. And they started carrying three of our designs, and we just added an additional two. So now they have five of our designs in the stores, and it's been a really great learning experience to see how the big box stores do it and take some of those pieces that are helpful and then understand that some others are just a lot of work, but we're excited to reach new folks that we haven't been able to reach, especially during COVID times, not being able to do markets or festivals. To reach people in the grocery store where they're at has been a huge help to us.
Yeah. And all our friends at Baton Rouge are totally pumped. They're like, we know, because they got like our photo up on the
display
too. And so every time something different happens, I get like three text messages from my friends in Baton Rouge. I'm like, oh, they just moved you from like the little spot to like the big spot.
That's awesome.
It's very funny.
That's cool. What are your long-term goals for Heartseed? Y'all have had a lot of growth in the last like 2 years. So the Good Shop had stayed in Church Alley when we moved to our Canal Street and our new location, and y'all helped. We all kind of opened that location together. And then a year into that, y'all went and opened and moved and took it as its own storefront. And so now y'all have been at your own storefront for like 3 years, I think, at this point. So what is kind of, aside from the Good Shop, but y'all have had seen so much growth just in the last 3 years, it feels like. Are you just like making it happen right now? Are you thinking about what the future of Heartseed looks like too?
Oh, absolutely. still thinking about what the future holds. And I think for us, a lot of it was just, you know, slow growth and for a long time. And then finally I left my job at GRN to do this full time. So that gave just a lot more energy. I was able to do more stuff with the Good Shop and make sure that it was up and running, and invite more people to join it so that it became stronger and bigger. And then as Bernie transitioned to Heartseed full-time last summer, so we've just been kind of building into it more and more. And now with both of our full attention, I can see, you know, how much value that held. How being part-time for so long just insisted that we had to take it slow, and that allowed us to build kind of a structure and a skeleton and some ideas. And now we've been able to really press, you know, hard, both of us at the same time, which I think has moved us really forward really fast, which is exciting.
Want
to talk about future stuff?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we think is really cool is like kind of like finding, I think we're trying to, Whole Foods is really great. And I think we would like to, you know, maybe be in more places like, you know, like Church Alley, and, you know, that'll allow us to sort of like, you know, connect to different customers, maybe outside of Louisiana. Maybe, you know, we're kind of looking at some Texas, Dallas maybe, or Austin. And so we're kind of looking at those options right now and making some connections. And then, you know, there's potential, you know, we're not potential, but we're actually working on.
So that's Georgia, and the mailman is here. So she's saying hi. All right. She's gone. So I think she'll sit down in a second. All right. Thanks for protecting us, Georgia.
Right. Good girl.
Good girl. Way to do it.
All right.
We're looking at different like potential partners to wholesale in different places. maybe outside of maybe like more places in Louisiana, but maybe kind of like explore a little bit more in the southern region and see what that's like. And then I think we are also trying to figure out, like, you know, we're doing a lot more sort of client focused work outside of like retail and wholesale. But I think, you know, we realize that, you know, it's sort of hard to tell the story of both of those things under one hat. And so we are like working on, you know, we're not really 100% sure right now. It might be called something different, but like just the sort of design production part gets separated from the retail wholesale. And so we're kind of like trying to figure that out too. And so that's kind of like, we might have something in store by the end of the year. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, because your business is, there's a lot of pieces and it's just grown out of opportunity and necessity. So you have like your own products that you design and create and print and make and sell them in your own store and at places like Church Alley and Whole Foods. And then you have these whole other line that you create for other people, which is an entire business on its own.
Yeah. So we're trying to like figure out, cause that's been really fun. And I think we both like enjoy, we're kind of people, I think. And so it's great. It's nice to like, I don't know. I feel like I used to be a teacher. I used to be like a high school teacher. And then I was like at Youth Empower Project, I was also a teacher. And I feel like working in some ways, working with clients is kind of like, I still get to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. But I was always, and I think it sounds weird to say that maybe, but I was always the type of teacher who I was like, I'm like not trying to be a top-down teacher. Right. I'm trying to be like, we're on the same, like, you know, when I always saw my apprentices and my students, like, I appreciate where you're coming from and you have something to bring to the table. And then you know that I have the same, right? And so like, I always thought we were like, we're on a level playing field. And I think it's kind of, but I know that my role is to like help you. Right. Our role is like support you. It's so like, I think I really want to keep doing that. So I think I started to see that, oh yeah, I can really, Natasha is also, you know, we didn't really talk about this, but like Natasha is doing screen printing workshops and she's actually quite the good teacher herself. And I think that's why she's so good at like making printables for other folks too. Cause she has the kind of similar mindset of like, you know, I want to understand you and I know I'm here to support you. Right. And so we're trying to like figure out how do we do that best in like in a more clear way so that people who want that service can like clearly see that we offer it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, do y'all have any other issue or something about your products or heart sleeve that you don't think we covered? Maybe you can just, I'm interviewing Tippi as well, but maybe you can just explain what the Good Shop is and how it runs and like how it's evolved.
Sure. So the Good Shop is a collaborative storefront where we have 5 partners, meaning that we all pay in to cover the rent and we all cover different days of the week. To make sure that our store can stay open. And then we have dozens of other local makers who we can sign goods for to sell in the shop. And so in that way, we can all contribute a little bit, but then reap the full benefit of our sales. So the Good Shop doesn't take a cut of my sales because I'm contributing via my labor and my rent check every week or every month. And so in that way, we're able to support kind of small burgeoning or just like really new people who are creating cool things because starting your own brick and mortar is just a lot. And it's hard to keep the rent going every month on such small margins or if everything gets shut down in the case of COVID. So the Good Shop has been just a wonderful space for us to grow and to encourage other brands to grow. And we've kind of cycled out over the years, we've cycled through maybe 8 or 9 different partners who have gone on to continue their brand and create newer, bigger things? Or some people just decided, oh, that was my toe dip in the retail world, and like now I'm going to take a step back. But it's a lovely testing ground, and I'm excited to have a gift shop in New Orleans that supports and shows off and showcases the creativity of folks in Louisiana.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I know I haven't been sort of like the day to day for a minute since like the days that the good shop was in Church Alley, and before that. But I always thought it was cool because somebody who is one of the people there most likely is like somebody that owns is the owner of one of those businesses, right? So they like really. I know you're like at Church Alley a lot. So like it's, I think a lot of businesses though, you sort of like a lot of times you may not get to interact with the person who like whose vision it was in the beginning and still is. And so like it's cool that you can just go in like Church Alley, or you go in like the good shop and like, oh, you actually own.
You're the maker. Tell me about your process.
This is you. Okay. So you know, so like, wow. So you know, so it's, I think it's kind of cool. And I think that might be more common in New Orleans, maybe. I think that's like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're a little more bootstrapped down here, I guess.
I was gonna say like one of the beautiful parts of opening a business in New Orleans and South Louisiana is that it's very possible. You really can open a business. Yeah. You can make it anything you want to make or sell is available here, and there's a market here. And I think what we have all experienced together, but it is true the citywide, is so all of the other businesses are willing to help you and lift your business up. And there's always space for new partnerships. There's always space for someone else's voice, to have our voices together to do something. And I think that is really where, even within the coffee shop industry, we're constantly talking to one another and offering product. You know, you run out of something, you know, and we run out of cups all the time, or another shop will run out of cups all the time, and you just send a text and go and pick up a case from another shop. And that is uncommon in other parts of the country. I think that has, you know, when COVID first happened, one of the things was, how is businesses going to make it? Well, Louisiana, we know how to make it. We know how to do it. We're faced with so many challenges that we know we need each other. We need all the other businesses. We have to work together. And that's how we make it. And I think that's a voice that, I think that's somewhat part of why people are so enchanted with our culture and us as people down here, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's been, our growth is definitely not, it definitely involved the collaboration of so many people and so many other businesses too. And so I think it does feel that way. It does feel like, I don't really feel like I'm competing against whoever here. It's more, you know, like,
well, I think it's accepting and realizing how interconnected all of us are. We're all dependent upon each other's success. So let's collaborate rather than outcompete one another. And I think that's the strength of New Orleans. And it's really refreshing and lovely to find that's still even in the competitive business industry, you know, not just nonprofits or organizations, but businesses do that too. And that's how we survive, by leaning on one another.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. That's why I like having a business here. Because it does feel like, you know, I think we're all sort of in it together.
And I think Louisiana, this might be true elsewhere, but in Louisiana, everybody's got a side gig. Like, everybody's got some little project just for them. Maybe they're a musician, maybe they're an artist, maybe they bake, whatever it is. Everybody's got this like secret talent that they're working on all the time. And so people always have something to offer, have something exciting to share. And sometimes it'll come out of an unexpected place, but people just have all these talents that they're ready and willing to share and offer up to one another. And I think that's really lovely. And that's encouraged me personally to investigate my own artistic endeavors because they're fun and they're worth offering up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Well, that's all I have. That's
awesome.
Thank y'all so much for sitting here and talking to me. It's funny because part of it, I feel like I'm watching y'all are hosting something and I'm watching y'all talk and do I'm like, oh, you know, I'm also in this.
I loved hearing it. I did not realize that is where we first met, Renee, at GRN.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
At the door. Like, that was just such a lovely piece to reflect on.
Yeah, so I was working for Greenpeace. I was in Amsterdam and then the oil spill happened and I had been going, and then I was supposed to be in San Francisco and I was like, what the hell am I doing in San Francisco when I'm an environmentalist, I'm a community organizer and there's a freaking oil disaster happening an hour away from my hometown. And then, Gary Cook, who was one of my colleagues in Greenpeace, went to Tulane Law and I think knows Aaron, who was part of the senior leadership of Gulf Restoration Network. And so Aaron and Gary figured out a way for me to come down for a full month to work with y'all.
Cool.
And I was working with, I think y'all were planning that big retreat of all the communities along the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, the Gulf Gathering.
Yeah, the Gulf
Gathering from Galveston to Apalachicola. And so it was all these community organizers. And it was just like, I had been working at this huge international organization doing great work that I still love and I'm very proud of. And then I come here and it's like these neighborhood associations or these oystermen, you know, all of these people from so many backgrounds and communities who were impacted by this oil disaster. And then I met the Galveston Baykeeper and then I got a job and I left Greenpeace and stayed here in New Orleans and worked for the Waterkeeper Alliance or helping all of the Gulf Coast waterkeepers to navigate that whole process for the remaining like 2 years, you know, the rest of the 2 years or so that people were collecting citizen science and doing all of the different work like that. So that's really how I'm here, was that volunteer in that Gulf gathering is how I'm here.
That's really cool.
it's funny, we all started in the Enviro. That's kind of like what kind of got all of us here.
I think that, you know, something that I think about that is, and I've talked to other organizers about this, environmental organized social justice organizers, of how, you know, that it's great, that work is really great and doing the nonprofit work is really great, but we need people to then learn all of the organizing and the tools that work to make business better and work for everyone and then go into the real world, you know? And like, we are telling the same stories we were telling when we were all organizers, but we're telling them from our small business, you know? And we're engaging people exactly where they are when they're buying gifts for their family members or when they're buying their cup of coffee in the morning and we're having a discussion of that morning's news or the news that happened yesterday, you know, and how we feel. And so we're bringing all of our passions for a more just and peaceful world, but in our own language as a t-shirt or, you know, a cup of tea.
Yeah, sort of like a more, it's interesting as you think about it like that. It's like a every, it's like kind of like bring it in into like everyday life.
Yeah, right.
Before we're, I think I was trying to like pitch it in right when I got to your door, you know, like it's so like get you this moment, but it's sort of like now it's like, you know, I think it's interesting now. It's like, oh, maybe we should see if folks would choose us and then tell the story, as opposed to sort of like, let me go like pick people and then try to make them listen. There's still probably a need for both, but because some people need to just get their ear tugged and like, you here, listen here.
Yeah. Well, I think that it probably made, I think what makes us good in business is probably what made us good as in organizing, right? Like not the other way around. We're doing well because that's part of our personality, and it's also an organizer's personality.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Communication, collaboration, and bootstrapping, just like knowing how to have a pizza party and get a bunch of friends to show up at your house to help you on a project. Yeah.
Make it happen.
Or to mop out, you know?
Oh God.
When the morning after a storm.
When we opened the shop and then 5 months later, all of the pumps stopped working along the city and we had 2 inches of water, you know?
That's right.
On the inside.
But they're doing a lot of work over there. Well, it looks like they are, but I don't know if it's making an impact.
They're tearing up the same corner they've been tearing up and repaving for 4 years.
Like what? Like I don't understand. I don't get like what? How did it not get done fixed?
Oh. You know this game they play, Bernie.
What happened? How is this road? Like unpaved and then paved and then unpaved and then
there's
so many roads that I see that are brand new and then they have like a hole
in it
for somebody out whoever else to go in and fix the thing after they've made everything new, so now all the new stuff looks like it unpatched it together.
We can't have anything nice.
It's too good. It's too good. We gotta mess this up a little bit.
Well, I think about like, what if we moved our businesses to another city that had good infrastructure? We would kill it.
Not shop back in and dealing with whatever disaster every couple of months. Yeah. No, but what would be the fun in that?
There's no fun in working infrastructure.
How is that fun?
The threat of 17 hurricanes in 3 months.
Right. Makes you cling to life a little harder.
I think that's part of the collaboration bit, is that we've been through a lot. We've been through so much. Everybody who's here, who's been here for a few years, has been through something like
big.
Something big, some catastrophic, something that affected like
catastrophic.
Something that affected everybody around you near, you know, like we had to like get it together. Mm-hmm. Or you either would have left or you just wouldn't have made it, and it just would have, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think that's, it kind of forces us the way that infrastructure and the disasters.
Yeah. The environment, literally the environment also forces us to figure out a way to stay in business. And then out of that comes all these interesting products, you know, that are so compelling to people too.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to y'all later.
See you later.
Bye. Bye. Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Making Good.
You can find our podcast on all the platforms you find your favorite podcasts. You can also find a transcript of this episode and all of our episodes on our website, churchalley.store. If you loved this episode, please share it and let others know about the good work of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery. Thanks again for listening to Making Good. I hope you have a really good day. We'll see you next time.